You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I mean, have you ever attempted to do voiceover work? I feel like you could be a trailer voice.
I don't know if I could do trailer voice for longer than a
Coming
couple lines.
This summer,
Jason Statham, Morgan Freeman, Rebecca De Mornay.
You're good at it.
He's great at it.
65 million years in the past.
Rebecca De Mornay.
The guy from Girls. Has a laser gun.
And introducing Ray J. Jr.
This summer, Ellen Barkin.
Oh, don't get me started.
Ellen Barkin.
Oh, sea of Love.
He loves Ellen Barkin.
Ali Sheedy.
Rated R.
Can you name another movie
that Ellen Barkin was in?
Yeah.
She was in Ocean's 13, wasn't she?
Was she? But on the heels of Sea of Love, right? She gets nowhere without
Sea of
Love.
I mean, everything that I've seen her in is on the heels of Sea of Love.
Molly Ringwald, C. Thomas Howell, and Anthony Michael Hall, and Robert Downey Jr. in the role of a lifetime.
Do you remember Pablo Francisco, the comedian?
Oh, yeah.
His trailer?
This summer, Little Tortilla Boy.
That's where I got my Arnold from. That's how I learned how to do Arnold. Is watching.
Get in the chopper.
Get in the chopper. Yeah, it's my little tortilla. My tortilla card. That's all me doing Pablo Francisco.
Running in slow motion.
Yeah. Get down. Get down again.
Yeah, so good, man. That was a time.
I saw him live, and he's funny, but he has to do that bit every single
Where's
time.
Where's he gone?
Well, he got.
Is he like
got
canceled?
He got called out for stealing jokes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Is that him or Carlos Mencia? Are they both the same person?
No, Carlos Mencia for sure.
Yeah, Mencia for sure. Oh god.
Oh wow, is this a fine?
Oh no. Something happened with Pablo Francisco. There's a reason why.
They knew too much. We know too much.
We know too much. That's so good.
They went too far. We've gone too far. We're over there. Now we're here as far. He was good, man.
So good, dude.
He was good. He only had that one. Oh, let me tell you something. You know, someone else who had like the impressions but kept doing the same thing over and over again was Ari Spears. Ari Spears always went back to the hole of he does DMX,
Shaq.
He does Shaq, he does Jay-Z every single time. And then I saw a video of him recently and he does Tony Soprano. And when I tell you his Tony Soprano is flawless. Flawless. It was him and it was Godfrey, and they were on a podcast, and the podcast host kept coming up with ridiculous scenarios. So he says, so Tony Soprano, you just went to McDonald's and the ice cream machine is broken. And he literally flawlessly, oh yeah, these guys, I gotta tell you, the ice cream machine has never worked. I can't do it, but you know, you get the idea. He's just off the top of his head, flawless. And I'm like, man, you should have been doing that 20 years ago instead of Jay-Z and Shaq every single time.
To be clear, Pablo Francisco never stole a joke.
Any sort of Me Too stuff?
No, nothing? I don't. Not in his wiki.
Yeah, just.
I feel like, I feel like there's something.
You murdered Pablo Francisco's career.
I did not murder Pablo.
You murdered his career.
No, I didn't.
He said he got.
You can catch him at the Comedy Zone in Jacksonville.
We should
two
go.
Weeks ago.
They knew too much.
That's where careers go to die, though. I mean, perhaps Amin is right.
Isn't that where
it was of a time? It was of a time.
Yeah, it's like, how much can you do that? Andrew Dice Clay had an act that was of a time.
Well, I mean, I don't think Pablo Francisco's was of a time. It's just that it didn't progress, right? It didn't. He didn't add, like, so if he came out today with that bit, he'd kill. Everyone would be like, you're so funny. But you got to keep adding and growing and doing different things. You can't do the same bit over and over again.
But it's a catch-22 because people know you as the impressionist. So
yes.
It's tough for impressionists to
maintain
that level of funny. Frank Caliendo was red hot at one point.
Yeah. You know? And then everyone started going, bam! And then that was it, right?
Well, he started off, he got famous because of his Madden impersonation. Yes. And then Madden passed away, and everyone wondered what he was going to do.
Madden passed away last year.
But it was kind of considered the retirement of Madden, really.
Madden did not pass away last year. It was longer than that.
No, wasn't it? Wait, no. Guess what year he passed away.
I want to say 2022, 2021. That's what I want to say.
I was about to say it's the last year.
I think it was 2 years ago.
You think Brett Caliendo's career hit a wall?
No, I think he became a one-trick pony, and I think he expanded his career from there. Like, he did. He added on, like, certain characters.
But it was Thanksgiving 2021, like, around there.
When Madden passed away.
It was December 28th, 2021.
Christmas, yeah.
Basically.
Well, I was right. I mean, yeah.
Seamlessly, you're like...
That was a year ago.
Other holidays.
It was January 23. That was a year ago.
I like how Sugat said, no, it was like, you think he
no,
died...
No, it was like 2021.
Got cut up in
no,
the
No, but that's
air.
Not what happened
I
to Frank Caliendo.
I 1996 so bad.
Frank Caliendo still, like, his impressions are as good as they ever were. It's just hitting different because... It's not as topically relevant, and
there are a lot more impressionists too.
You've seen it a million times.
There are a lot like there's
he
this
did
one
expand.
Guy,
I mean,
there's this
did.
One guy who does like Ryan Reynolds, Marky Mark.
Yeah, on IG, he's
yeah,
pretty good.
He is pretty good. His Ryan Reynolds, I feel like if I practiced it, I could do the Ryan Reynolds. Here's the thing. Like it's
you got a way to go.
Yeah, if I practice, this is just me spitballing here. His Mark Wahlberg is always out of breath. Here's what we're gonna. It's always, that's how Mark Wahlberg talks. But yeah, the impressionist is definitely a hot flash, and then you're shit out of luck if you don't have material.
Yeah, you are the impressionist guy, and
yeah.
Whenever you go to play a gig.
They
people still want to see Little Tortilla Boy yeah. when they see Pablo Francisco.
Yep. They want to see the
that's
hits.
How they fell in love with his act.
Yeah.
And so they're paying customers
yeah.
that you have to placate, but it's harder to push your act further along.
Jay Farrow, I think, runs into this too, because like every time he goes anywhere, he has to do his Eddie Murphy. He's got to do his Chris Rock. He's got to do like those. It's the staple.
But that's what you're going to see. I mean,
yeah, but like you... I mean, that's
it's
how you get boxed in, man.
Yeah, but it's different between comedians and like musical acts. Yes, play the hits. But a comedian like works out an act, does a special, and then they do all new stuff.
Impressionists
so.
are trapped.
Yeah.
Because everywhere they go, people want to see the impression that they recognize you yes. from.
But it should be new material of that impression, right? I mean,
my favorite impressionist was Monet.
No.
It's clever.
Really?
It's
really?
Clever.
Congratulations. Really?
It's clever.
Mm. He was a post-impressionist, though. Anyways,
oh,
the
bad.
Worst thing that Dan does is try to make you do an impression on the spot, on air.
Yeah.
Oh, like Misogynist Bane. I love that one. Do it. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Do it right now.
It has to come up organically.
Do Misogynist Bane having a conversation with highfalutin Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
I was about to say, do Misogynist Bane having a conversation with Mr. Freeze.
And Jimbo Fisher. Do Jimbo Fisher, too.
No. I can't have three conversations with... Who do you think I am?
You could talk to Jay Gruden, Robert, and Kirk.
You can talk to which quarterback is going to start next week, Jay?
Yeah. Robert, Kirk.
I mean, have a conversation. You're Arnold Schwarzenegger with your Alvin Gentry.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
And well, hang on, random name generator. You're arguing over a bill.
Oh, okay. All right, here we go. The tab on this is going to run cold with the beers I'm drinking tonight. Hey, I'll tell you right now, I drank a lot of beers. I was out there. It was me, Pop, Amin. We were all having beers. Really? I keep wanting to do Mr. Freeze. I don't want to do Arnold. I'm thinking of Cold Funds.
You join in on the improv. Can you join in? Do your Christopher Walken.
Okay, go ahead.
That is a very impressive timepiece you have on. What is that?
The watch.
Hey,
I'll tell you right now, I had a watch too. It was a hell of a watch. It told time, it told me the day, everything.
Is that Doc Rivers?
Look, it's not Blake's fault. He doesn't have a watch on. It's not. I can tell everybody. It's on all of us. We've all got to tell the time.
What is Barack Obama doing at this restaurant?
Time? is of the essence. As I often tell Michelle, Sasha, Malia, we should cherish time. The time we have with one another.
Women don't know how to tell time.
Mitch McConnell doesn't want you to have a watch.
Mitch McConnell wants us to be timeless. He wants to say the time is a construct, a social construct.
Yeah, Robert and Kirk.
That's good impression right there.
The watch.
I saw that there's a feature in Twitter that's a security disruption that shouldn't be a thing, where engineers can go on, quote, God mode and tweet from any account at any time. And it's like a major security flaw, apparently. And so basically any Twitter engineer can just pick Amin Alhassan's account and tweet something outrageous.
Worse.
And it's called hashtag God mode. So if you were on God mode, whose Twitter account would you tweet from?
Well, first of all, you could start World War III with that power.
That's accurate. I mean, it's a major issue. I read yesterday that some whistleblower at Twitter said it in some hearing or filing or something like that.
You could go to like POTUS and just tweet, we are now at war with Russia.
Nukes going up.
Yep, nukes going up.
It's a slippery post. Slippery slope. Damn, I was so focused on doing the impression.
Right. No. Yeah.
It's a slippery slope.
That one's a classic.
So mad.
Edit that.
Yourself.
Someone fix that in post.
All right, Chris, I need a conversation between Jennifer Coolidge and what's my man from InfoWars?
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
They got hit,
I'm here.
They got hooked up on a blind date.
Yeah.
They got hooked up on a blind date.
Oh, it's Stifler's mom. Hell yeah, man.
And you're
and Jennifer Coolidge is walking in late.
I'm so tired of that character. It's not all I am.
No, but come on. Everyone knows you for it. Great. InfoWars.
Hello, my name is Steven. I'll be your server tonight. Can I start you off with some appetizers or perhaps some lovely beverages?
I'd like an apple martini.
And for the gentleman?
Potato. I'd like a Bloody Mary.
You mean to tell me you're going to drink a Bloody Mary at 7 p.m.? That's disgusting. It's despicable. I can't believe that you would go out on a date with this lovely woman and drinking that.
I have Miller Lite.
The watch.
Can someone please answer my God mode question? Aside from a political...
What are you asking? What are you
want to answer her God mode question?
What are you all doing at Hooters, man? You know, I used to work at a Hooters. Been out of work lately.
Hey, you should probably sit a couple out, man.
You don't want to use God mode. You just want to do it as little as possible.
The watch.
No.
Who's that guy now? Is that Morgan Freeman?
No.
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 There we go. That's better.
How many Twitter accounts? How many Twitter accounts have they hacked into now?
Is someone going to answer her question?
No.
I tried. What would I do in God mode? I'll answer the question.
You've thought about this.
I've thought about this a lot, actually.
You immediately took it to like nuclear warfare.
I mean, that's the first thing I thought about.
Of
yes.
course, but like in a more lighthearted, like there's a celebrity.
Oh shit. I just thought of the greatest idea ever.
Oh, God.
A reboot of War Games, but instead of like a supercomputer that launches the nukes and all that stuff, Twitter God mode. Matthew Broderick, Ali Sheedy, come on down. Let's do this. What would I do on God mode? I would, for one, I would have all of the like brands tweet about how awesome I am and how much they love my show. Because then I think I might fool some other brands into, you know, coming
giving
up with
money.
Some squidoosh. Yeah. You know who's operating on God mode, right?
Who?
LeBron.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, you did. I did. And you saw
he
it.
He did.
So, Stugatz, this happened and I thought of you instantly.
Okay.
Instantly. Mm-hmm. The McDonald's All-American nominees have come out, right?
Right.
Bronny James is one of them.
Okay.
Now, here's the problem, right? McDonald's game is the top 24 kids throughout the nation, right? I went through all the different recruiting services. ESPN, Bronny James, 28th in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
24/7 Sports, Bronny James, 33rd in the nation. Rivals, 43rd in the nation for Bronny James. And then something called 1DB, 29th in the nation. In what world is this guy McDonald's All-American other than his dad playing God mode?
Nepo, baby.
Oh, here it is. I love it when it comes full circle.
But if you're McDonald's, you want that name on your team. You want that name associated with your team. Like, that's just the way it is. I mean,
this feels a lot like our conversation that we had in the local hour about if you're a Hollywood machine, right? You want the movie
which
that
LeBron is.
Yeah, which he is, absolutely. Yeah. You want the one with the recognizable names, regardless of whether they are deserving or not. Stugatz, is there a lacrosse All-American game?
Yeah, of course.
And your daughter was in it, right?
Yeah.
Are
you saying she got in because of my name? No one knows my name.
I'm just
get out of here.
What are you talking about? Name another name in lacrosse that people will recognize.
Gary Gate.
No one knows Gary Gate. They know Stugatz, though.
No, they know. Listen, lacrosse
Sam
fans.
Sam Apuzzo is the only other name I know.
Jim Brown. Sam Apuzzo.
Jim Brown.
That's
Jim
the
Brown
other
works.
One.
There you go.
Jim Brown. And it was the Patriots wide receiver.
Julian Edelman.
No, there was another one.
Was lacrosse?
It
Chris Hogan.
Gunnar
Chris Hogan.
Oh, Chris Hogan. Yeah, 7-Eleven.
Chris Hogan. Yeah.
7-Eleven. Amin and I were laughing before we got started, Mike. Damian Lillard had 60 points. On 72% shooting, which is insane. He did it last night. And now he's only one of six players who have scored 60 or more points on more than one occasion. One of six players in NBA history. It is Lillard with 4, James Harden with 4, Elgin Baylor 4, Jordan 5, Kobe 6. Guess who's number one and guess how many? Like go ahead. Like, reveal it to them, because the fact that this guy is so far ahead of everyone else when it comes to stats, and no one ever calls him the greatest player to have ever played the NBA. He's not even in that conversation. Is mesmerizing.
It's Wilt Chamberlain. We don't have to guess who.
32 times.
Oh, Stugatz, you ruined the reveal.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike. And typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right. You crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the lead in sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes, so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Don Lebatard.
Did you guys see Gilbert Arenas' assessment of Zion Williamson?
Agent Zero.
Stugatz.
Did you answer my question there or no? Like,
no.
Okay, very good.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
What's up, Stu?
How are you, man?
Trying to, it's always a weird time of year where, like, I'll miss football when it's over, but I'm also, like, ready for it to be over.
Right.
I think I've been away every weekend since, like, August 5th.
It's the life you chose, Ross Tucker. That is the life you chose.
No, I know, but now it's just about time for ski season, then beer pong season, then beach season.
Does beer pong ever go out of season?
No, but it's what I do. Like, I ski February and March, and then I, like, play a lot of beer pong, host a tournament April and May, and then June, July, August, I go to the Jersey Shore a lot.
There you go. Hmm.
But no, it doesn't. I'm playing beer pong Saturday night. It's like my only competitive outlet at this point in my life. My wife doesn't like how much trash I talk, but I'm like, you gotta make it fun. Like, this is
she good?
What it's about.
I mean, no one's really good at
no,
it, right?
Beer pong?
I imagine Ross Tucker is really good at beer pong.
Ross, are certain people better at beer pong than others? What, like, their skill involved? No. It's luck.
Is there
beer pong?
It's not luck.
Luck. Not
is
luck
there
at all.
Skill involved in throwing a little ball somewhere?
I mean, yeah, listen. People, there aren't levels. There's no Michael Jordan of beer pong.
I used to play
yes,
on
there
a circuit.
Are. What?
I literally used to play in tournaments, and the same teams end up in the finals. A lot of the times.
The most believable thing that's ever left his mouth.
What?
You know who the like, one of the greatest beer pong players ever is, right?
Well, Chris Cody.
Sue Bird. Sue Bird, amazing beer pong player.
Yeah. I believe that. That
makes sense. I believe that.
I had no idea.
I feel like, even when you watch, like, college basketball, the females have better, they have better technique.
The
They're
form?
Better shooters.
Better form?
But yeah. See, that's the thing. I don't think there's a correlation between basketball and beer pong. Some of the best beer pong players I've seen are people terrible at basketball, but they're great at beer pong.
There's touch. You gotta have, like, there is an element of touch to it. That obviously,
don't forget the element of surprise. Looking away, bounce one in.
I don't like that.
I'll smack that shit out of here. I smack those bounces out of here.
Do you?
It's the rules. You're allowed to do it.
What if you make it in the drinking cup, Ross? Huh? Then it's game over. You ever shoot for a drinking cup?
Yeah, see, you guys play with some different rules.
Well, that's
There's
what I'm saying.
There's only one universal rule. We Elbows. All know what it is.
Elbows.
Well, okay, then there's
and
two
one re-rack.
Rules.
And one re-rack.
Drink before you shoot.
Oh. One re-rack. Okay, there's three rules.
Wait, you guys are playing a different game.
In terms of who's allowed to blow a ball out of the cup if it's swirling around.
Yeah, do you blow a finger?
Maybe.
See, there's a lot
only
more rules.
Only a certain group of people are, well, like, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. You guys are playing by different rules. This is a game I'm not familiar with.
What, like, if the ball bounces back? What's a halfway line, offhand, or behind the back? See, there's so many rules.
Oh, if you get your rebound,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you're getting a little over-aggressive. I'll never forget when my buddies were in college. It was so fun to have the pledges. They would pick the ball up.
Oh, off the ground?
Yeah, we would have them be rabbits. So it just makes it so much, because it's so annoying to bend over to pick the ball up. So we would make them slap the floor and get in the defensive stance
and then go
pick the ball up and bring it back to us. It was amazing.
You made them do the Wojo? The Duke Wojo?
It was awesome. It was awesome.
The Wojo?
Yeah, he slapped the ground.
No, I know. I'm familiar with his work.
It's never been the same now that I have to bend over and pick up the balls myself.
Ross Tucker is with us. He is with Westwood One. He's on the sidelines for 49ers and Eagles this weekend. Are you sad? Like, I get sad this time of year. I'm excited for the games. There's three games to go, but I also get sad because soon there'll be no more games, and that makes me sad. How about you?
I always have mixed emotions, Stu, because, like, on the one hand, I'm with you. I love football. Like, I'm an addict. I think I call, like, 30 games a year. I love everything about it. And so in April or May, I'm going to really be missing it. The flip side is, I have traveled. I do the Eagles preseason games. So I think since, like, August 8th, I've called at least one game, which means I'm away from my family every weekend for, like, 6 months.
Right.
So part of me is looking forward to, at least for a couple months, being home and not having my wife mad at me because I was away all weekend and she had to deal with the kids.
What's your favorite venue that you've called a game from?
Ooh, so there's three that jump out to me right away. NFL, it's Lambeau Field. I don't know if you guys have ever been, but it really is a bucket list item. It's just everything about it's incredible. I mean, first of all, you're driving in like this suburban streets, and then you make a left, and it's exactly like where the high school stadium would be, except it's Lambeau Field. It's just wild that there's this 80,000 seat stadium there. And then, you know, you've got the people tailgating. There's about three quarters of the people are in the stands an hour before the game. The grass is just perfect. The lighting's amazing. They always have brats and one of the best press box spreads in the NFL. So I always have, like, they have macaroni and cheese and pulled pork. I put the mac and cheese and pulled pork together.
Nice.
They call it pack and cheese. I always have two brats at halftime. Pack Everything's amazing. I got a story for you guys. My rookie year, we're playing at Green Bay. I'm playing for Washington. We are getting our you-know-whats kicked, right? Like Brett Favre's just killing us. And one of the veteran guys on the sideline says, man, I'm ready for my brat. And I'm inactive. I'm not even dressed up for the game. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, oh, wait till you see this. After the game, there's some lady outside the visitor's locker room. She gives us all brats before you get on the bus. I'm like, seriously? Yeah. So, like, it's like a mental thing. They act like they're being nice, but they're really just trying to get you to end the game. Literally, we're losing. It's the fourth quarter, and guys were already thinking about the brat lady before we got on the bus.
All right, what's two and one? You said you had three, right?
Yeah, yeah. So the other two, the one's not really a venue. It's an experience. It's the Army-Navy game. I think I've called it 7 or 8 years in a row now. I don't really know how to explain it to people unless you go there, but we all know that it's like we live in a politically polarizing society and things are divisive or whatever, right? You go there that day and it's the one day of the year where you really feel like, okay, we are all in this together. It's not like Republicans versus Democrats. Like, we're all Americans. We're all together because Navy and Army, they hate each other. They want to win. But you just have this great – there's something so cool, by the way. What other sporting event has every member of the student body for both institutions? So the corners of the end zones, it's every midshipman, it's every cadet. They're going crazy. And just the energy that they bring is awesome. And then I call every Army home game for CBS Sports Network. And I'm telling you, you know, before I got the gig, people were like, oh, you got to go to Mikey Stadium. You got to go see an Army home game. I was like, yeah, I'm sure. Like, I grew up with Penn State season tickets. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure Army Stadium is great. Yeah, I'm sure it's great. It is awesome. I mean, they got the parachute guys coming in from the booth. You can see the Hudson River. The water is right behind the stadium. It's beautiful. When they run out of the tunnel, when the Army Black Knights run out of the tunnel, about like 20 yards over their head, is an Apache helicopter. Like, I'm just telling you right now, my team would never lose a game if I ran out of the tunnel and there was a helicopter leading me out onto the field. We would win that game. I don't care who we're playing.
Wait, Ross, you every game they got the Apache helicopter doing a flyover?
No, not a flyover. Oh, it's just leads them out.
It leads them out, yeah.
They run out of the tunnel. It's like 20 yards above their head. But the other teams are always like, oh, crap. And they specifically put every single cadet behind the away team. So, like, they're just, like, yelling at them. Here comes the helicopter, and the away team's like, holy crap. What did we get ourselves into? It's amazing.
I mean, Ross, I don't care what leads you out. Your team's losing by 40 to Alabama and Georgia. I mean,
you know what? You're probably right.
No, but I'm not just probably
the
right.
Of having, you know what? We might lose the game, Stu, but if we want to, we could blow the crap out of the team bus right after the game.
You win the pregame, though. You win every pregame. Okay, you do. And number one.
Well, I was tying. I was okay. You were tying the Army Navy game. Army home games and Lambeau are the three that jump out to me.
What's your least favorite venue? Oh, like where you're like, when you get the assignment, you're like, oh, I got to go to that dump again.
Well, there's some rough college stadiums. You know, I do a lot of group of five games for CBS Sports Network. And so there's a wide variety in some of the group of five stadiums where, like, they don't have any food. Like, they don't even have an elevator to get up to the press box. You, like, walk up the steps. And, you know, it's funny. I love doing Maction. Like, I love midweek Maction Tuesdays and Wednesdays because it's the only game on. I'll get, like, text messages from GMs that are watching, or everybody bets on the games because the only game on. But some of those games, Stu, I'm telling you, there's like less than 200 people at some of those games. And so it's just like, it makes it, you know, it's a tough environment when there's like nobody in the crowd.
You know, Stu Gatz, it reminds me when I was scouting. It was always, to me, the buildings that were so overrated. When people are like, oh my God, the history. I'm like, this place is a dump. And one of them was like the Palestra. Right. In Philly, because it was literally like it was built in the 1800s, and like it's cement seating and no concessions and one bathroom, and the bathroom was just a hole in the ground. And I'm like, I don't understand. I don't get it. I'm not with the whole tradition thing. There's a certain level of like, we got to have
kind of like the Orange Bowl. Like people would talk about it. Then you get there. It's an absolute dump.
It's a dump.
Yeah. You know what shocked me?
What's that?
So, I grew up outside of Philly. So I grew up a big Eagles fan, right? And growing up like in the 80s and 90s with Aikman and Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin, like the Cowboys Stadium in Irving, Texas looked amazing on TV. Like it just looked awesome. I went there as a rookie. I was like, this place is a dump. I couldn't believe how bad it was. I mean, and then the next year, Washington cut me. And I was starting the last seven games for the Cowboys. And I was like, man, TV does not, like, there is nothing better that television has ever done than make Texas Stadium look so much better than it really was.
It's that aerial shot of the star on the field, like through the hole in the roof. That's what made it look so cool. Stu Gatz, Madison Square Garden is like that too.
Yeah, but well, it was nice now.
They fixed
it
now.
They renovated it.
Oh, man, the rats in there.
I know.
The circus rats.
I'll see if I can give you I can give you dozens. I mean, the old school places were great. Boston Garden.
Oh, man, what a dump. You'd be sitting behind a pillar. You got to lean to the left or right just to watch the game.
Hey, so I grew up going to the Vet in Philly.
That's a
veteran stadium.
That was a dump.
I'm telling you. The first couple games my dad took me to in the mid-80s, I kid you not, I watched more in the 700 level because that's all we could afford. I watched the stands more than I watched the game. I'm like 6 and 7 years old. I'm watching this guy with a Cowboys jersey get punched in the face. I'm watching this lady get a whole beer dumped on her head because she was cheering for. I mean, it was like. It was like an eye-opening experience for a young kid to be on the 700 level of the Vet back in the 80s, man.
Fandom.
Ross, do you agree with me that Brock Purdy, like, it's a great story. It is. There's no questioning that. Like, the NFL is so great in this regard. You have three great quarterbacks, three MVP candidates, and then Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick of the draft. And those are the four quarterbacks in the championship games coming up this weekend. But like we're making a little bit too much of Brock Purdy. That's the best team in the NFL, and I'm not certain Brock Purdy's the reason they're there. In fact, I would tell you he's probably not. It's because of that defense. It's because of the running game, the wide receivers. But I feel like we're making a really big deal about Brock Purdy. I need to see him go do it on the road in the playoffs, and that's something he hasn't done yet. Doing it at the friendly confines of your home stadium with a great team, okay, great. Do it on the road against Philadelphia in that environment.
Agreed to some level, Stu. But it's so funny you say this because I tweeted this like an hour ago at Ross Tucker NFL. You know that if he plays poorly, people are going to come out of the woodwork to be like, see, Brock Purdy stinks. See, that's why he was the last pick of the draft. Meanwhile, by the way, that environment is going to be insane.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of quarterbacks would play poorly. And I mean, Josh Allen didn't play well this past weekend. A lot of quarterbacks would play poorly in that situation. But the way it is, and Amin knows this because of his time in scouting, right? If you're like a first round pick or highly touted, you can play crappy for five games. Then you play one really good game. Yep. Everybody's like, see? That's it. That's why he's a first round pick. Purdy, mark my words, if the Eagles win that game and the Niners, it doesn't go well for them, all of the draft guys who don't want to feel bad about themselves because they said that nobody should draft Purdy, they're going to say, he's just limited, see? Yeah, like,
that's why.
He just can't do it. Like,
but Ross, how many
guys would go into Philly against that D-line in the NFC Championship game and play well? But I promise you, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy for a lot of people, especially the draft community. They can't wait for Purdy to play poorly, hopefully, in their mind on Sunday.
But that's why you do it on the front end. That's why I stay ahead of that.
There you go.
I'm telling you right now, he's not going to do it, and I am going to crush him when he doesn't do it, okay?
And what if he doesn't, Stu?
I will give you credit for doing it on the front end. Yes, Stu.
Do you feel like the 49ers are the most talented team, top to bottom? Chris Sims tells me all the time, top to bottom, most talented team in the NFL, San Francisco 49ers. You agree?
No chance. No.
Really?
It's the Eagles. I mean, how about this? The Eagles, 16 of their 22 starters are either Pro Bowlers or Pro Bowl alternates. And there's some insane rule that says if you happen to be on IR the week of the Pro Bowl vote, that you're not eligible. So Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who leads the NFL in interceptions and would have been a lock as a safety for the Pro Bowl, he wasn't eligible. Dallas Goedert, who's one of the top three tight ends in football, he wasn't eligible. So legitimately, Stu, 18 of the Eagles' 22 starters are Pro Bowl or Pro Bowl alternates. That's nuts. I mean, I just told you guys, you know, they never wanted me. So I'm not as bitter as I used to be, but the Eagles never wanted me. But it's the best Eagles team I've ever seen. Now, they might not win it. They might lose Sunday, whatever. They have the best O-line in the NFL. They're the first team ever to have four guys with double-digit sacks. They led the NFL in sacks by a wide margin. They almost set the all-time record. They have the best wide receivers in franchise history, easily, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. They have the best corners they probably ever had, Darius Slay and Bradbury. And they have an MVP candidate quarterback. Here's the thing for the Eagles. This is a huge missed opportunity for them if they lose this game. They're playing at home. They have the best team. They have an MVP quarterback against a rookie quarterback that Stu doesn't think is good. Like, the Eagles, if they lose this game, they're going to be talking about it for years. They're going to be like, how did we lose that game to Brock Purdy at home that year when we were loaded? Because now Jalen Hurts is going to have to get a new contract this offseason. They're going to lose some guys in free agency. Like, this is the year. This is the time for the Eagles right now.
It's going to be interesting. Like, if they get down, like, watch how quickly that fan base will turn on Jalen Hurts and that entire team. If, God forbid, they're down 17-0 second quarter, Ross.
Well, that's the key to the whole game. The Niners have to play with a lead, and they have to be able to run the ball. Because if you watch the Niners' O-line and even your boy Purdy, obvious passing downs, they really struggle. They're not good. So if the Niners get down two scores, they are in serious, serious trouble. They have to play with a lead. Now, the Eagles, unlike the Niners, they can come back from a deficit because the Niners' corners are not great. Metcalf had a big day. CeeDee Lamb had a big day. So I expect the Eagles to come out firing to Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown on the outside.
Ross, I've been saying for a while now, I feel like Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in football. You agree?
No, I still think Mahomes. I mean, I still think it's Mahomes. I think it's Mahomes by a decent margin. I will say this, though, Stu. I was on the sideline in Buffalo on Sunday. Joe Burrow is an assassin. Like, I was talking with the Bengals coaches, and multiple Bengals coaches told me he's the smartest player they've ever been around. He is now, to me, He's the new version of like the Brady Manning prototype. He is beating people with his brain. Mm. In that game against the Bills, I'm sure somebody has a stat. Nobody, I guess you can't know for sure. It felt like at least 80% of the time, he knew exactly where he was going to throw the ball before he even got it. There were plays, guys. He's in shotgun. It's snowing. I don't even know how he did it so well. He caught the ball. He wasn't even getting the laces. Some of those throws, he wasn't even taking the time to get the laces. He was just catching it, boom, catching it, boom. I mean, the guy's brain is nuts. He's the son of a coach. It shows he's like the new Peyton Manning, Tom Brady type. He's going to be around for a long time.
I feel like Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid need to win a second title to validate the first one. Like, the, you can't make five AM. Yeah, you want to be one of the all-time greats, okay? You can't come out of this with one Super Bowl, okay? You just can't do it. You're Aaron Rodgers. Seriously. Like, this guy is so good. This team is so talented. I feel like there's a bit of pressure on the Chiefs here. Plus, the Bengals have beaten them three consecutive times. This game is for everything. Whoever wins the game is going to be the face of the NFL. And I feel like there's a bit of pressure on Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid here.
Well, I agree to some extent. Now, I think the pressure is on the Bengals a little bit because of the Mahomes ankle, right? It's almost like you got to be able to beat Mahomes if he's got this high ankle sprain. I don't think the Chiefs need another Super Bowl to validate the first one, but if they want to be considered one of the all-time greats, if they want to be considered, you know, a team that we talk about for years, you're totally right. I mean, it's their fifth consecutive home AFC championship game. You got to at least get to a third Super Bowl if you have five at home, and you got to win two. Stu, I think to some extent, you're right on that. It would be a bad look. Now, it's not Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers only ever even got to one Super Bowl, which is just crazy when you think about it. But I think on some level, you're right. It's a bad look for the Chiefs. If they lose this game, it's like Burrow owns Mahomes. Correct. And Zach Taylor owns Andy Reid.
Yep. Tom.
They called it Burrowhead Stadium. Well, my man didn't say that in the media availability.
Mm-hmm. Tom Brady.
Dude, he's so cocky but unassuming. My daughter's mad at me because she didn't want me to tell him before the game that she thought he was cute. She wanted me to say to him, "You're my daughter's favorite player." And I got home. I said I wasn't able to talk to tell him that. She said, "Oh, I wanted to know what he said." He's like, you know why she likes him? He looks like a grown-up Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone.
He does. Oh, that's a good call.
Home Alone, and Joe Burrow looks like, okay, Macaulay Culkin like 10 years later. He looks like he's like a teenager. Anyway, my daughter's 10, and she likes the Bengals solely because of Joe Burrow.
Tom Brady finished?
Definitely not.
Good.
No.
That a boy. Proud of you.
Stu, I think, honestly, like, even if you told him he'd be 500 next year, he'd still play. And I don't know if he's just like afraid of life after football or if he realizes you just can't replicate it anywhere else. Like, I try to tell people, I love my life. Like, I love doing the broadcasting stuff. Sideline will be awesome. But that feeling when the coach says 2 minutes and you stand up in the locker room with your helmet and shoulder pads on and that walk from the locker room to the tunnel, and then they announce you starting left guard, Ross Tucker, you run out of there, and they're 75. Like, you can't replicate that anywhere else in life, which is why I love it. I don't care how rich you are, you know, the Broncos owner or Jeff Bezos or whatever. You can't replicate what that feels like to know, A, you've earned that moment, and you're running out in that field, and all those people are watching you, and there's the threat of imminent danger, potential injury. It's like a drug, and I don't think Brady wants to give it up.
You done?
Yeah.
Oh, you signaled to me that you had another question there.
It's going to get long-winded if I ask it, though. So.
All right, Ross, check them out. 49ers-Eagles, Westwood 1, NFC Championship game. Enjoy Championship weekend, man. Couple of weeks to go. Then beer pong and skiing. Yeah,
get that form ready.
That's right, man. I cannot wait. Thank you guys so much for having me. I love the show.
All right, thanks, talk Ross. To you soon, buddy.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.